Everybody, I hope you're all not too worn out from the festival. Hope you're more enlivened. So much chanting. Really a nice way to purify our hearts. Today we're going to read a text from the Bhagavad Gita, which is the Song of God. And these are beautiful words spoken to his disciple Arjuna on the meaning of life and how to become very successful and everything that we do in this lifetime. So this is from the chapter called The Yoga of the Supreme Person. It's chapter 15 and text 5. I'll just read it. You can read along with me if you like. Nirmana moha chitta sanga dosha adhyatma nidja vinivritta kamaha dvandvari muktakshita dukkha sanya Gachantya mudha padam avyayam pat. Translation. Those who are free from false prestige, illusion, and false association, who understand the eternal, who are done with material lust, who are freed from the dualities of happiness and distress, and who, unbewildered, know how to surrender unto the Supreme Person, attain to that eternal kingdom. Purport. The surrendering process described here very nicely. The first qualification is that one should not be deluded by pride. Because the conditioned soul is puffed up, thinking himself the lord of material nature, it is very difficult for him to surrender under the Supreme Personality of Godhead. One should know by the cultivation of real knowledge that he is not lord of material nature. The Supreme Personality of Godhead is the Lord. When one is free from delusion caused by pride, he can begin the process of surrender. For one who is always expecting some honor in this material world, it is not possible to surrender to the Supreme Person. Pride is due to illusion. For although one comes here, stays for a brief time, and then goes away, he has a foolish notion that he is the Lord of the world. He thus makes all things complicated, and he's always in trouble. The whole world moves under this impression. People are considering the land, this earth, to belong to human society, and they have divided the land under the false impression that they are the proprietors. One has to get out of this false notion that human society is the proprietor of this world. When one is freed from such a false notion, he becomes free from all the false associations caused by familial, social, and national affections. These faulty associations bind one to this material world. After this stage, one has to develop spiritual knowledge. One has to cultivate knowledge of what is actually his own and what is actually not his own. And when one has an understanding of things as they are, he becomes free from all dual conceptions such as happiness and distress, pleasure and pain. He becomes full in knowledge. Then it is possible to him to surrender to the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So maybe we can invoke some auspiciousness by repeating these words after me. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. So this is a discussion about surrender. Now, I don't want to get everyone scared to think that we're going to point a gun at you and you have to hold up your hands and drop to your knees. But actually, in devotional service, we do. We hold up our hands and glorify Krishna, and we drop to our knees and bow down, right? But we do it out of love, and we do it because we volunteer to, in this lifetime, to surrender to our most worshipful Lord, Sri Krishna. So this process of surrender is not at gunpoint. It's actually a very natural process of linking ourselves back to that which we chose for some crazy reason to leave, and that's our loving relationship with God or Krishna. So this bhakti process is a process of surrender. of actually, there's six items that's discussed by great acharyas and also in the scripture about these six items of surrender. Different things that we can do so that we can actually, as in this purport is discussing, have this knowledge and understand of who we really are and what our position is, that we're very tiny and that we're actually should be very, very blissful and happy in our service to the Supreme Lord. So some of those items are that, first of all, that we accept what's favorable for devotional service and we reject what's unfavorable, which makes a lot of sense. If you want to go somewhere, you have to do the right thing. Sometimes you can't do what you want to do if you want something accomplished. So in devotional service, it's very important that we accept what's favorable. And then there's another item is that we completely depend on Lord Krishna. We feel that his protection, and he promises that protection many, many times in the Bhagavad Gita. He promises that if we surrender, he will protect us. And then there's another item that says that the only interest of a devotee is the interest of the Lord. He has no other interest. And also that one will see the Lord as supreme and that we are servant and that the devotee is always very meek and humble. So these are some of the items that we as devotees are aspiring for in this lifetime through this process that the great teachers have shown us in the process of bhakti, are actually learning the art of how to please Krishna, how to surrender in that loving mood. So recently I was inspired to talk a little bit, especially about this dependency of feeling protected by the Lord. A few weeks ago my mother passed away, and I was there. And I realized, you know, after some time that actually how dependent we are on our parents. And even I think all the parents in this room will, even though you have kids that are 40 years old, still you're worrying about them. You call them up, ask, do you need anything? You still feel very protective, right? And they're thinking, oh, yes, my parents are there. And then when they're gone, then you think, wow, no more mother. I have no more father. Who do I have to vent on? And Prabhupada says in the scriptures that these are our fallible soldiers, that they're here and then they're gone, just like it's described somewhere in this purport. Very flickering. We're here for some time, we think we're so great and everything, but poof, we're gone. And so I had that realization. I realized that now, Krishna Mata, Krishna Pita, Krishna Dhanapran, that Krishna is my mother and Krishna is my father, and Krishna is now has to become the treasure of my life. And this is one of the very important processes of surrendering to Krishna, to realize that we are not independent of him, but that we're actually not so well off as we think, especially here in the Western world. We're thinking everything's looking pretty good. I'm protected by so many different things, right? My good looks. Guess what? They're very short-lived. They're going to go away very quickly. And then there's the our health. We can depend on our health. Yes, I'm going to accomplish so many things in this lifetime. But mentally and spiritually, maybe that health is a little shaky. When my father was, he was a surgeon, and he knew all about the medical field. But when he started getting old and began to get a little dementia, he said, whoa, I didn't know about this part of it. Of the medical end. And he said, I didn't realize that I would go so quickly, this would happen so quickly to me. So yeah, we can't depend really on that, although we think it might go on forever and ever. There's also, maybe we'll think that technology and science, it will protect us, right? Now we can, if we mess up this world, we can go to the next planet, right? But now we're just, instead of protecting us, we're thinking, oh my gosh, what if someone pushes a button? It'll destroy everything. So we can't depend on that. That also will not save us. How about this wonderful country? Everyone feels real protected now, right? Yeah, uh-huh. Anyway, some doubts maybe are there. So where do we, you know, where do we look? Srila Prabhupada said that actually the greatest misfortune is if one thinks that they are independent of everything. We have to admit that we are very much dependent on the Supreme Lord. There's actually showing our incapability. Sometimes when you get older, the adults have to wear some underwear, and there's a brand called Depends. So you can see that even at that point, we have to admit, we're forced to admit that we have to depend, not on our good health, not on our body, but we have to depend really on something else. So who do we depend on? Where do we put our faith in somebody that's going to protect us? Who is it going to be? You have to have faith in someone. And those people have to care for you. Who really cares enough for us? Does our country, does our president really care enough for us to completely give us protection? A long time ago, the kings used to be much more conscious of that. Where do we put that faith? There's an exercise. It's for team building. We used to do it in the ashram with the girls before we did a big play, a big theater presentation. So everyone would have really good relationships with everyone else, and they would work as a team to really put on a good theater performance. And what you do is all the members would get in a circle. One person would volunteer to get in the middle, and they would close their eyes, and they would just fall. Completely just let go and just fall and rely on someone to catch them. That takes a lot of trust. You have to really think that I'm going to get caught, to really let yourself go. And it does. It strengthens relationships. And you realize that from those trusting relationships, you get some love. You can't really love someone unless you trust them. So all our fallible soldiers, although they might love us, they are fallible and they will go away. So really the only one that really cares for us eternally is the Supreme Lord. He cares for us and loves us so much that he's been within our hearts with us for many, many lifetimes, just sitting there waiting for us to give up our independence, thinking that we're going to be the control of everything and relying on him. And he will catch us. He promises many, many times that he will catch us. There's one nice prayer. When Krishna is talking in the 11th canto, and Krishna says, a person who has completely surrendered unto me and has completely given up all other activities is protected by me personally, both in this life and the next. In other words, I wish to help him become more and more advanced spiritually. So this is the kind of care that we should be looking for. And this is the kind of care we can find in Krishna. He promises that if we depend on him totally and surrender, that he will completely take care of us, that we have no more worries. Many people can't understand how someone could actually totally be ready to give all, have so much faith in someone that they would give their lives to them. But this requires this process of surrender that are in these six items. So much so that our faith is so strong that, yes, in this lifetime, Krishna, it is yours. And he's very pleased. And then he can do so many things with us. He has many plans for us. But this total dependence is looked down upon by many people. They say, oh, you have so much low esteem. You need to take some courses on becoming stronger with yourself, thinking you're great. And you're becoming a parasite. You're becoming a bum. You're not doing anything. You think everyone's, he's going to do everything for you. You don't have to do anything. But this is not really the process. Srila Prabhupada said that when he's discussing how one should not be independent, he says, but you must work. You must work with valor and then depend on the Supreme Lord. So it's not that we don't work and that we have low self-esteem or that we're parasites, but actually we learn how to work, but depend on Krishna for the result and give him the result. And that's the perfection of this whole yoga of the Supreme Person, teaching us how to work for him. Like the Pandavas, Arjuna and all the Pandavas were highly qualified personalities. They could release thousands of arrows. They had the strength of 10,000 elephants. They were very, very, very qualified in all aspects. But Krishna said, just depend on me. I'm going to take care of everything. And they could. They could do that. And they could give the results of their work up to Krishna with valor. But they depended on Krishna for everything. So this is the arts that we have to learn. And it will help us to advance. And Krishna will help us. Within, he will give us the knowledge of how we can advance if we take this position of becoming dependent. And the byproduct is that we become meek and humble, because now we are depending on Krishna. But practically speaking, let's look at our daily schedule. How many of us are feeling totally dependent on Krishna? I know I've got my list of all the things I'm going to do tomorrow, right? I'm going to do this. I'm going to get this accomplished. I'm going to do that for Krishna. I'm going to do this. And I have my goals, right? So I'll get them all done. I know I'll get them all done. But maybe not. One time I was going door to door in Portland, Oregon, and there was no deities in the temple, so I could just spend all day going door to door distributing books. And I was thinking, this is the most wonderful thing. I just love doing it. And some deities were supposed to be installed, but I just, I had so much to do with that, but I just loved going out there. And then I'm just thinking this way, and then slip, bang, crunch, broke my ankle, had to crawl back to the road, get some help, get to the temple, go get a cast on my leg, and then I got down to what Krishna really wanted me to do. He wanted me to get ready for the installation of the deities. So he is the permitter. We might be thinking, yes, I'm going to do all these things for Krishna. I. But we're forgetting that Krishna is the permitter and that he is the supreme. This is also one of the items of surrender, to remember our real position, that please allow me this opportunity to serve you. So there are many opportunities, and hopefully we will not be forced like some of my foolish examples. So the focusing in this Krishna consciousness is to remember Krishna all the time in all that we do, but it is not that easily, but it is made as simple as possible by our spiritual master in this process, especially like we had this weekend. Rising early in the morning is a way to focus on Krishna. It's the first thing we do in the morning is come when we come and see Krishna, and he becomes the center of our life. The most important thing, Papa wanted us all to come to the temple regularly and see the Lord so we don't forget what the purpose of life is. And then bowing down. How many times going in and out of the temple we bow down? This helps us also to remember our position, that we are tiny servants. And then there is hearing the scripture daily. Prabhupada said daily. If we hear the instructions of the Lord, what is favorable, what is not favorable, what to do, what not to do, this helps us on the path of surrender. And it's a wonderful thing. It's so many wonderful classes we can hear. And the kirtan, of course, is so, so focusing. I'm sure all weekend long, the melodies are going through your head the minute you go to sleep, the minute you wake up. The last melody you heard at, 1 o'clock last night? is still going in your head, right? And then, of course, taking prasadam, remembering that Krishna is protecting us and providing everything for us. So all these items of surrender are in our daily life every single day if we do them. And so it's recommended that we do all these things daily with enthusiasm. And that advancement will come quicker. And if we do it together, all in association, it's even more potent and has more. It's even more pleasurable. And at the time of death, we'll have the best chance to actually reach that perfection of thinking of Krishna. But even then, we're thinking, oh yes, I'll chant the holy names of the Lord. Well, when I was with my mother in the last few hours or so, I kept trying to ask her questions, see what was going through her mind, and then she got to the point, she says, it's too hard to talk anymore. And those were her last words. So at a point, we're not going to be able to chant. It just happens, Prabhupada said. You get choked up, and then the death rattle, amazingly loud. I mean, I could hear it in the other room. We can't chant those names. So we have to rely on this process that we engage in daily, that we do remember that last kirtan, we do remember that last class, and that we have our God sisters and God brothers chanting with us, so that we can remember the Supreme Lord and perfect our lives. And then we can be delivered. We can be delivered from this reputation of birth and death. There's a very nice quote here. It says, "In my life of independence from you, I have experienced nothing but misery. But now, upon accepting those feet of yours, all my miseries have been cast far away." So gradually, as we surrender over the years, we see that life becomes much easier, actually. That the glitter of the material world that makes us want to stay here forever and try this and try that and enjoy, it gets dulled. And actually we see that all that glitters is not gold. That it's actually Maya's illusion. That actually the real pleasure in life is coming within our hearts when we actually connect and experience Krishna. I recently received a letter from Krishna.com, and this person said that he was studying the Bhagavad Gita, the divine and the demoniac, and realizing that there are, you know, two classes of people, the divine that are trying to advance spiritually and then the demoniac who are engaged in material activities. And he says, it seems like the demoniac are enjoying and having a lot better time and everything's going better for them than the devotees that are surrendering and going through all this process and everything. What? I don't get it. And so I tried to explain that, yes, they're happy. They're happily putting a noose around their neck and tightening it and getting more bound up in this dark material world, and that they're just going to have to come back again and again. Whereas the devotees are actually being pinched, but that pinch, that little pinching is overwhelmed by the pleasure that they get from surrendering to Krishna. And that they're woken up, constantly being awake in spiritual knowledge, so that they can see really who they are and become self-realized. So we, as devotees, gradually we can make some advancement, and we can learn the art of taking this matter, even though it's fool's gold, it's not really gold, it's not really what we want, but we can take that matter and turn it into spirit by offering it to Krishna. And this art gives pleasure to the Supreme Lord. It's all his anyway. And so we get pleasure when he's pleased. So this whole art of bhakti and of surrender is actually going to give us the pleasure that we're looking for in so many other very temporary ways. But the path of surrender is a narrow road, and there's a big rock in the middle, and you can't really get around it. You can take some detours. That rock is what is described in this purport, the pride, the false ego. And so that makes it very difficult to surrender. And so you can try to make a detour and go around this way, and another lifetime, you're going to run into the same rock. And another lifetime, you go, try to go around this way and avoid the false ego, and there it is again, that same rock. So this false ego can be dissolved. It can be chipped away at by engaging in this process of surrender, because we understand that we are not really the most capable person, God's gift to this planet. That is not our real position, but that actually we're the humble servant. And so by bowing down and by depending on Krishna, that helps us to realize that this pride really needs to be removed. And it's not easy to lift up a big rock. Not easy by yourself. So therefore we have the spiritual master who gives us strength through his instructions. We have all the Vaishnavas that help give us strength to engage in this process together and become very, very strong. And gradually this rock will dissolve, and we can go on, advance spiritually. Krishna, he promised us. Says, "I will help you advance spiritually." So there's a great Acharya, Bhaktivinoda Thakur, who reads a little bit about his mood of surrender, which maybe we can take up. He says, mind, body, and family, whatever may be mine, I have surrendered at your lotus feet, O useful son of Nanda. In good fortune or in bad, in life or in death, all my difficulties have disappeared by choosing those feet of yours as my only shelter. Slay me or protect me as you wish. You are the master of your eternal servant. Father, mother, lover, son, lord, preceptor, and husband, you are everything to me. Thakur Bhaktivinoda says, O Kanha, please hear me. O Lord of Radha, you are my life and soul. So although we might lose many loved ones, and we still have Krishna, we'll always have Krishna. And therefore, by this chanting process, he's there on our tongue all the time. And he's there being in our hearts, hearing our chanting. And if he can't even hear it, he knows the intentions of our trying to please him by doing so many wonderful things for him in Krishna consciousness. So this process is really wonderful. It's made so easy for us. It's not at gunpoint, like I said. It's we're saying, go take prasadam, yes. Come, do some little service in the temple. Wash some pots in the kitchen. Do this for Krishna, do that for Krishna. Whatever you like to do, do for Krishna. And then chant and dance in between. So simple. You know, why don't we take it up with all of our heart and soul and bring others into the party? They're out there suffering. Invite them to come and join us. And with no doubt, they'll get that higher taste immediately, especially after a nice festival like we had today. A big dose of what Prabhupada called is simply sublime. The whole lifetime, the whole lifestyle is simply sublime. So maybe someone has some comments or some expressions back there. Is that Mika?
Items of surrender. One of them was full self-surrender. You know, usually when you define something, you don't use the same term to define it. So can you expand on that full self-surrender point? I mean, why? Or there are other versions, it seems. I don't recall.
There are other versions, yes.
What,
I found
what
few.
What would be in that place in other versions, did you recall?
Some of them were that you should feel so, although you feel capable of doing something, you recognize that Krishna is actually the supreme doer of everything. That was a whole different flair to one. Maybe it could be lumped under that. And one was to always remember that you are a servant of Krishna. So, full self-surrender, that's the topmost surrender. We take our baby steps. We'll get there someday, hopefully with everyone's mercy. Sukadev.
I was going to say that the person who wrote in, who was perceiving that everyone was enjoying so much, in reality, out of the shlok, water is wet, and you can't take wetness away from water. The material world is miserable, and you can't take the misery out. You're always being pursued.
There's really no
peace. Some semblance of God consciousness. And that's where the devotees, even though they're giving up so much, because they're connected with Krishna, they have that sense of peace and fear of death, because they're realizing that it's simply a transition, and a beautiful transition. When Narada Muni left one body and went to the next, it was described as lightning and illumination.
Right.
I love that.
So fast. You don't even know that you've left your body. You just simply transfer yourself to the spiritual world.
Actually, I remember reading, it was amazing to me, because it said that when he gave up his body for sacrifice, and it said when he took his spiritual body, he didn't even know. He didn't even realize that he had transferred. He was so absorbed in God consciousness.
So we have the best chance to focus. Mahananda.
Yeah. The first time it came out was in the teachings of Lord Chaitanya way back when. Actually, I know what page it was on. It was on page 123. And all the different versions that you talk about, they're all the same version. They're just worded in the book.
Yeah.
But one thing I wanted to say while you were talking, I was thinking something Krishna said in Bhagavad Gita, and where he explains why we don't surrender to him. It's plain and black and white. He says it right there. He says, the one who's too much attached to material sense gratification and material opulence, and who's bewildered by such things, the resolute determination for devotional service does not take place. That's pretty much it, right? What do you think?
That we have to change our attachment to Krishna and become attached to bringing nice things, offerings, and to surrender our life to him. And that, then we'll become very attached to him. And he'll be there. We promise he'll catch us. Don't worry. Anything else? Back then.
In the beginning, there's reluctancy in surrendering. But later, there's a begging for surrender. You're actually begging Krishna to allow you to surrender because you want Krishna to be there, and you want to be dependent on Krishna. You don't want to depend on anything else. And you're praying to Krishna that he won't allow you to be distracted and forget that he's the only person that can really give you shelter. So there's a crying to Krishna, that please, Krishna, don't forget that I'm actually trying to surrender to you. So there's quite a different process as we begin and we progress. And there's it's like Rupa Goswami describes it as jaundice. At first, sugar tastes bitter because of the disease, but the more you taste it, then the condition makes it that eventually the sugar tastes very sweet. So Krishna consciousness is like that. At the end, it becomes very, very sweet.
It is our natural position. And after we practice a little bit, then naturally we will cry out. There's a whole section of Bhaktivinoda Thakur's songs called Sharanagati, all about surrender, and they are all cries of begging for surrender. They're wonderful to read and to sing. Highly recommended by everybody. So we can now surrender our tongues to taking prasadam. Hare Krishna.